that final verse of today's gospel reading, we see the first of the I am phrases spoken by Jesus, which John Corbin, not the gospel writer, reminded of us last week. That phrase was, I am the bread of life. Now, it seems like an odd thing to say, to liken himself to bread. Although for us today, who worship regularly and receive communion, the body of Jesus assumes concrete symbolism. Well, I don't want to get into the argument surrounding transubstantiation, which have been debated for centuries. I'm sure that those who know what it means will tell the others, if not, look it up in dictionaries. Let's just stick with why Jesus called himself the bread of life in the context of this passage that we heard today. Interestingly, just about every nation and culture of the world has bread which is baked and eaten. It is probably the most basic and commonest form of food that there is. Bread at its simplest level is that which symbolically signifies need, particularly for those who have very little of it. And the prayer, the only prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, is the only material substance he tells us to pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. And yet he paradoxically teaches us that man shall not live by bread alone. Try telling that to a starving African. But as we go through the Gospels, we begin to realize that bread is a word that Jesus uses to mean many things. Bread for starving people is totally different to bread for us in our well-fed, opulent Western society. Bread is that which fulfills man's greatest need, whatever that need might be, material or spiritual. Certainly in today's gospel, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, the living bread that comes down from heaven. And he's clearly not talking about the substance that we purchase from the bakers. The hearers he speaks to, like ourselves, were not short of food, or whose basic level of subsistence was mere survival. He was speaking to a people, quite possibly like ourselves, who had more than enough to eat and didn't need to use their wealth purely to buy enough food just to keep them alive. Those people in a greater than subsistence society begin to surround themselves with all they no longer need to worry about. They don't need to worry about where the next meal will come from. Jesus uses the word bread symbolically to mean that which they most need. He was pointing to theirs and our need of God. Speaking of the use of bread, the word bread in symbolic terms, isn't it interesting that's and significant that we now in our modern day parlance use it as a slang term for money, as a word which in symbolic terms was used to identify that which was man's greatest need. We in our rich acquisitive Western culture have identified that need as money. If this then is the stage we have reached, then clearly the words of today's gospel have a great deal to say to our society and its need of God. God, the living bread that comes down from heaven. Here in our rich West, we desperately need to know our need of God, our spiritual bread. We have overdosed on the physical bread to the extent that what for many in the third world is need has for us become greed. People today in our society desperately need to discover their need of God. As someone once said, there's a God-shaped hole, a hollow inside all people. The majority today have lost touch, forgotten to fill that empty space in their lives. I see it time and time again in those who deny any spiritual belief, who do not profess themselves to be Christians. There's a growing spiritual hunger around in our society today, and we who meet regularly to partake of spiritual food, so to speak, must guide them to where they can satisfy that hunger. If we don't, someone else will. And it may not be wholesome spiritual food. With the many alternatives we seem to have today, ranging from alternative therapies, cults, through to witchcraft and even devil worship, we as a church must make sure that the modern day Israelites of our community, wandering aimlessly in a spiritual desert, know where to find that manna come down from heaven, the bread of life. This then, where we must begin, with those closer to home, with those in the local community whose needs the church was established to meet. If our God of love is to mean anything, and what about those well outside the boundaries of our village? Those whose need is very different. Perhaps those who need the earthly food. True, there do seem to be organisations to take care of that need. And we occasionally hear on the news of millions in other countries pour into the third world in foreign aid. But really, or closer to home, there's also food banks. No matter how much we put in our Christian aid envelopes or donate to food banks, we only seem to scratch the surface. It only ever seems to be the immediate needs of a starving nation, but doesn't seem to get to the root of the problem. It's a bit like putting an elastoplast on someone's chest who's recently had a major heart surgery. But that is basically what is needed in this situation. Heart surgery, heart transplant, or to put it in a more common parlance, we need in our society, our culture, to have a change of heart. By feeling the need of God in their lives, people will learn to love as Jesus loved, sacrificially. And that goes beyond the barrier of just putting a few pennies or pounds into a charity envelope, but making a sacrifice that will make a major difference. It is inside each one of us, within our human nature, that the root of the problem lies. In the greed which drives our possessiveness and our selfishness. It is only at an individual level, by an awareness created through prayer, through communion or touching the love of God, that change will actually begin. The love and mercy of God shown to us in Christ, if we take it seriously as a guiding force in our lives, will ultimately illuminate the dark shadows of greed within ourselves and highlight the areas of our lives in need of change. Even at the very basic level, we could do worse than remember that petition in our Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And in that light, only to take sufficient for our own need that day, not waste as the Israelites did, and they took too much of what God supplied to them. What we throw away as individuals in the West each day could feed many in the third world. To follow the words of our Lord from that same chapter we read from this morning. Do not work for the food which spoils, but for food which endures to eternal life. In other words, he's speaking about his own teaching. identified when he refers to himself as the bread of life. This would take us a long way towards achieving the ideals of feeding the world. Certainly, if we laboured for spiritual food and were less concerned with the perishable or material, would indeed attain to the spiritual ideals outlined in the passage immediately prior to this, which John preached on last week, the feeding of the 5,000. Our Lord makes clear in this passage, only when earthly needs have been met, i.e. hunger, can spiritual feeding begin. By and large, we are fed more than amply, materially speaking. We can begin to attain more spiritually, and the spiritual values of caring for and sharing with our impoverished brothers and sisters might begin to be learnt. The prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," will not be thought of as merely bread in a material sense, but will apply to every case, whether in the rich West or in the poor third world, where the greatest need is identified. "I am the bread of life," said our Lord. Let us seek earnestly that bread in our own lives, that which we most need. Amen.